Welcome back to Proverbs, everyone. We are in chapter 13. Back at the round table, Peyton Jones, Denise Ross. Welcome back, guys.
We're here. Love to be here.
And today we are talking about kids, and we've got some proverbs about raising kids and what we do for our children. Let's dig right in. Denise, take us to verse 22.
So verse 13, 22. A good person leaves an inheritance for their children's children, but a sinner's wealth is stored up for the righteous.
All right. Now, this one is actually very personal to me because my child has a child. My oldest has a son. I am a granddad and proud of it. And so I think about this stuff, an inheritance. So talk about how this works. What is the inheritance that comes from being a good person? Why does it endure to your children's children?
Well, I will admit my folly. At the very beginning, I used to think that, especially coming from a socioeconomically compromised situation, when I heard this, I thought that, you know, rich men leave inheritances to their children and their grandchildren. We look at America, we have a couple of families who have been rich and wealthy for generations. So that's what I was thinking of. But then I found out when I had my own children that if I indoctrinate, and I use that word intentionally, my sons, because I only have sons, with the love of the Lord, then what happens is right there, if I leave my grandchildren with good parents, then I have left them an inheritance. Mm-hmm. That's what it's about. So now I know that I'm not a grandchild yet. I'm a grandfather yet. I bet not be. If you hear my voice, my sons, they ain't old enough. They ain't got enough money. They got no babies. But the situation is, if I leave my grandchildren, and in my case, with good fathers, then I have left them an inheritance that won't wither.
Amen.
It won't. But if you try to leave the materialistic things that are not, and forego their spiritual fortification, then everything that they're gathering up is for other people, because they got that without the love of the Lord. But if I leave them the love of the Lord, if I leave them certain moral pillars, then I'm going to take care of my baby's baby, because I cultivated a sense of righteousness through the Lord for my son. So now they know to take care of their babies. Then I have left my grandchildren an inheritance.
Amen. Come on,
that's
preach.
A lifelong inheritance.
Lifelong. And that's what I care about now. I used to think like, hey, now I ain't leaving them nothing. They didn't give me nothing. Hey man, it's cold world out here. But if I leave them with the love of the Lord, and I see my grandbabies, I mean, you see it now. I see you and your grandchildren. I see your baby. Your baby love the Lord.
Yeah, there's nothing like seeing your kids raising a child. My daughter is an incredible mom, and I see that was poured in by her mom. My wife poured in love, and we did everything we could for all their growing up, but wow, it looks different when you see them parenting.
Because now you see, that's the inheritance that you left.
You see value, like that is worth more than anything I could possibly give my grandchildren.
So that's what I see.
Well, we're going to come back to raising kids, the topic of kids, but we're going to skip first to verse 3. Peyton, what do you got there for us?
Those who guard their lips preserve their lives, but those who speak rashly will come to ruin.
Okay, one of the great themes of Proverbs here is your words, your lips, your mouth, and this one is about guarding your lips. So what's this about? Why are there so many Proverbs about the tongue?
Well, think of all the times that you've gotten yourself into serious trouble. It's usually something you said that did more damage than something you did. Even if you're in a bad situation because of something you've done, talking, like it says, speaking rashly is going to make it 100 times worse. Those who speak rashly will come to ruin. And if you find yourself in a bad situation, using your words, guarding your lips, will preserve your life. You can talk yourself out carefully if you're in a bad situation. I used to be a psych nurse in the busiest psychiatric facility in Southern California. I learned the value of speaking very carefully, very politely, and talking my way out of situations. So those of us that were younger, maybe we're in the principal's office or we get pulled over by an officer, sometimes this proverb can be literally true. You can speak in a way that will preserve your life.
That's powerful. And I love the imagery of guarding your lips, of just putting a guard up, a something to just put a clench on your lips that'll save your life. Well, we're going to go back to a little bit about raising kids in verse 20. This for me is another one of the grand masters among the Proverbs in terms of what I want to pass on to my kids. 13:20, walk with the wise and become wise, for a companion of fools suffers harm. How do you become wise? You walk with the wise. If you want to know what your character will look like a year from now, take a good look at your friends. Good or bad, it rubs off. Wisdom is contagious. It just takes time to rub off. And same is true for folly. If you hang out long enough with fools, they will get into trouble and you will be with them and equally responsible. Denise, you work with kids every day. How do you see this at work? What does it mean to walk with the wise or the foolish?
I said it before, if you're the smartest one of your friends, you need some more friends. So just keep it real. And that goes for me, too. That's why I'm with you guys. So when you start to walk with people who have a vested interest in your betterment as a human, minus any type of return on investment, they just have an invest. They want you to be the best you can be. And they don't want you to do anything that will damage that. And you walk with them so they can really, really, they can really act as a sounding board or a mirror to what you're trying to do. And if they really love you, and I mean really love you, not a false pseudo sense of loyalty that a lot of these young men think that we see on TV, but I want the best for you and Peyton minus me. So if you ask me something and we're all together, I'm like, nah, like I really don't think Peyton should have got that cupcake.
That's truth, brother. That's
you
truth.
Know, but he's a grown man, so I'm gonna let him do his thing. But I don't think he should have got that cupcake.
But you gotta walk with people who are willing to correct you, willing to challenge you, willing on, to challenge on the way you. You're doing things,
willing to challenge you and love you to challenge you gracefully in love, and then you walk with them, and then you make less mistakes because none of us is smarter than all of us. Period. So when you walk with people who really have a vested interest in the betterment of you, and they say, nah, man, that's not good. Or maybe we should try this.
If you have a group of friends and you never get challenged about the way you're living your life, the decisions you make, you either have friends who are too soft to challenge you or don't have the wisdom to know any better.
Yeah. And so you're the leader. What I do know is that the shepherd, he guides and redirects the flock. The flock usually doesn't guide and redirect the shepherd. It doesn't work in reverse.
Amen. All right, we're moving forward to verse 24. And this might be one of the most important verses for parents. Whoever spares the rod hates their children, but the one who loves their children is careful to discipline them. Now, I want to dig in and talk about this one, but first I need to recognize the controversy, which is the rod, because the rod he's talking about here is the rod of spanking a child. Now, let me be clear before we dive into this. Nothing in the Bible endorses cruelty or injury to children. If you are cruel, spiteful, mean, violent to a child, do not hide behind the Bible. Do not hide behind this verse to excuse your sin. Repent and stop. Now, some people might say a spanking is inherently cruel and injurious, and therein is the argument. I'm going to set that to the side because I don't think I'm going to settle the argument over spanking. What I want to say here is that the rod represents discipline, and it says whoever spares discipline hates their children. And I'm going to cut off that conversation there as we are out of time. But we have the rest of that conversation around verse 24 and parental discipline on the B side. Some great insight there into a critical issue for raising kids. Thanks to Deese and Peyton for sharing your wisdom. Read Proverbs 13, everyone. Check out the B side, and I'll see you next time.
Join us next time as we continue the journey, one chapter at a time. And remember, faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the word.